This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
In our notes last week, I'm just recapping super quick. Blessed means to make happy, to make successful, to prosper. We see that the blessings from God are seen from the very beginning. We see it in the first chapter, actually, of the book of Genesis. And where you see God's dealings with man and mankind, you see God's blessings and their promises. Last week, we talked about one key thing. If you want God's blessings, you have to do things God's way. Very good. We want His blessings, we do things His way. And we talked about marriage, and then we talked about forgiveness, and then gratitude, and then our words. And so again, just simply learning to do things God's way. So tonight I want to talk a little bit more about how can you do that? How can you begin to adjust your life to do things God's way? Because you're thinking, I wish I knew God's way. If I knew God's way, then I'd go that way. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. But first, I want to read you a direct quote. This quote is from a professor, Michael Pruitt, who was a Harvard professor. And this is what he said. If you take the ideas in these texts seriously, they will change your life. This is Professor. He's a professor at Harvard. He teaches the third most popular class in Harvard University. And you're thinking, wow, there's a Bible class going on at Harvard. No. It's ancient Chinese philosophy at Harvard, third most popular class. And that professor stands up and says, if you take these texts seriously, it will change your life. I thought that's pretty bold words. Talk about Chinese philosophy, ancient Chinese philosophy. And yet people are flocking to that class. Why? Because something in us say, hey, the ancients may have had it right. Maybe there's some wisdom there. And he mentions a couple of things. Some of it sounds like it certainly could be wisdom. So I thought about that. Then I thought about this. If you'll take this text seriously, it will change your life. Because I don't know where those ancient philosophers are now. I do know that the words of this book, author's still living. In fact, God raised him from the dead. That ought to give him some credibility. If you take these words seriously, it will really change your life. But, you know, it's interesting how people will flock to, and if you tell them ancient Chinese philosophy, people go, ooh. Or if you say Ben Franklin said it, people are like, oh. And yet when you say the Bible said it, people are like, the Bible. And that's what has to change. How do we do things God's way? It starts with your appraisal of God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 9. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. By paying attention according to God's word. And what it's saying is, it's implying that God's word is a safer way to walk. It's a better way to walk. And it begins to govern our actions. How can we begin to change our life? We begin to take heed according to God's word. I think it's fascinating. If a Harvard professor, and he's like, wow, he's smart. He's from Harvard. He's brilliant. All the people in there are brilliant. There is a wisdom greater than Harvard's. There is a wisdom. It's not worldly wisdom. It's godly wisdom. And godly wisdom says, you take heed to this, it can actually change your way. It can cleanse your way. It can make your way better. Some of you who have been walking with the Lord a long time can tell you, you know, the more I begin to conform to God's word and His ways, the more my life begin to change. You've heard me talk about my marriage when Joy and I first got married. It was not a good marriage. It was a horrible marriage. The only reason we stayed in it is because neither one of us had any quitting sense. Neither one of us would quit. Neither one of us would mention. We didn't even mention divorce. And by the way, that's one of the best ways not to do it is don't use that as a threat all the time. So just don't bring it up. And we wouldn't do it. And we wouldn't quit. Fought all the time. Say, what happened? God looked down one day and said, I feel so sorry for her. Bless her darling heart. I'm gonna help her just completely change me. And I woke up one morning and I was just... I'm different. I wish it worked that way. It did not work that way. What happened was we begin to change our lives. We begin to conform it to God's ways. Tell you, one of the best things that ever helped us was joy. Got a hold of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient, love is kind. And she put it all over the house. I would open the cabinet in the kitchen to get a glass, and there's 1 Corinthians 13 in the Amplified. I go to the bathroom, look under the sink. There's 1 Corinthians. I look in her closet. There's 1 Corinthians 13. Everywhere in my house, everywhere you turn, I finally said, well, why we got it all over the house? She said, because I need it. She said, I need to remind myself, love is patient, love is kind. Love is patient, love is kind. And she would read that. But what it was a reminder to her. And we begin to both begin to learn to walk in God's way. And God's way is love. I'm not talking about, I'm not talking about chill bumps love. I'm talking about commitment to someone else's good, which often can come without feelings. It is amazing how this many people in one auditorium can stop breathing at the same time. But what happened was when we begin to do that, what happens is you're on this path here and this path of arguing and strife and arguing and strife, and it's not fun. But the more we begin to conform and get on God's path, you begin to find over on His path, it's smooth. It's good. There's a minimal amount of arguing. I mean, Joy and I have an argument every now and then. It's so rare that when we have one, we're like, whoa, guess that's our one or two for the year. That's about the truth. Now, some people go, that's got to be a miracle, Alan, because I can tell what kind of personality you have. Well, that's right. It is a miracle. How have I cleansed my... By taking heed according to God's word. So it's not like, well, of course, Alan, you're a pastor. And God has extra mercy on pastors. It had nothing to do with me being a pastor. You can get on that path regardless of who you are or what your background is or where you've come from or who your folks are. It doesn't matter. God's path works. And God's path and God's ways have blessings in them. So it starts with your appraisal of God's word. The psalmist said, we think this was David who wrote this, to delight in God's word. Psalms 1:2. Look at this. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's talking about the blessed person. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. Now that word delight there is key. I think we need to stop telling ourselves that we don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't understand the Bible. You're hurting yourself with your words. Instead of, try this for a little bit. I love to read God's word. I love God's word. And even if you don't have any feelings, if you'll begin to do it, do you realize that you can act your way into a feeling? Okay. I knew I'm getting skepticism feels. I'm getting that skepticism vibe from the crowd. So let's put this up. This is what Jesus said. No, actually, Carrie, I apologize. Throw the Matthew. There we go. This is Jesus talking. He said, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, Jesus' words, and does them, I'm going to liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on the house and did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house, and it fell, and great was his fall. The only difference between the two individuals, both of them heard Jesus, both of them heard his word. One simply put it into practice, the other one did not. And if you'll simply put it, he didn't say you had to feel like it. In fact, Luke says he heard and dug deep. And this is where I think the challenge comes in. In the Christian life, sometimes we've made it such that the Christian life is easy, and if you come to Jesus, it's all easy. It is not. It's a disciplined life. It's a life where you're telling your flesh no, you're telling your desires no, you're learning to live a different way, but it's a very fulfilling way. And when the storms come, your house won't fall. And when the hard times hit, Jesus said, if you'll do what I said, but you're going to have to dig deep. And sometimes we're just going to have to understand, hey, this is not going to be easy, but I'm going to do it. The enthusiasm tonight is about overwhelming, but I just need you to just hang with me just a second here. How many of you that are single, and one day you'd like to be married? There's nothing wrong with that. Single, like to be married. Okay. Now, we've got single people here. Good, wonderful. Now, how many of you married people are going, don't! Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Don't you dare. Because I'm not going to be able to pray you out of that hole you dig yourself into. But how many of you realize that if someone's about to get married or they want to be married, you don't look at them and go, I tell you what, I wouldn't do it. It's hard. It's not. No, because we realize that marriage is good. Is it easy? No. Yeah, there you are. I knew you could be. No. But we tell people, but we don't discourage people. You don't hear me a step. They go, don't y'all get married. Don't do it. Don't do it. Some of you think that's wrong. No, it's not easy, but it's good. Yes. Any of you exercise? Yes. Is that easy?
No.
Is it good for you?
Yes.
Yes. Any of you eat right? Any of the 30 days of fasting, is anybody eating better than they normally eat? Yes. Is that easy?
No.
Is it good for you?
Yes.
I think we need to stop. Oh, how about this one? Any of you have kids?
Yes. That's all you have to say.
Is that easy?
No. No.
But you don't look at people who are about to have a baby, or you don't look at a lady that's pregnant. By the way, I never ask anyone if they're pregnant unless they're like skinny as a rail, look like they swallowed a watermelon. But it's when they come up and go, and they, unless they have a sign that goes baby, I'm like, oh, you look at them and go, you're gonna have a baby. Oh, not. I will tell you this: you ladies are notorious about telling birthing horror stories to pregnant women. What is it with you guys? You're like, oh, honey, I was in labor for 4 days. And it came out sideways. It hurt. It really hurt. That's not going to help anybody. Don't do that. Just give them a break. But we don't look at people and go, oh, you're going to have children. I wouldn't have children. Listen, how many of you have a job that's not easy? So you're just like, it's not easy, I quit. We've gotten this idea that we take on things that are challenging, but they're challenging and there's a benefit to them. Why don't we take the same perspective about God's Word? It is not easy to read the Bible. It's a lot easier to watch YouTube cats and puppy dogs videos than it is to read the Bible. It's easier. It's easier to watch ESPN than to read the Bible. It's easier. But cats and puppy dogs and ESPN won't benefit you like God's Word will benefit you, because it'll get in you and change you and put you on a different path. Does that make sense? So next time you pick up your Bible, don't go, oh. Just go, sitting easy, but I'm going to do it anyway. And just grit your teeth and do it. And here's what will happen. Here's what will happen. You begin to do it enough, you'll get hooked. Then you get addicted. And you're like, you don't want to go a day or two without reading your Bible. Because you're getting, why? Because you recognize it's food. It's spiritual food and it feeds you. Yeah? Say, Alan, you're trying to get me addicted? Yeah, I'm pushing this again. I'm pushing, trying to get you addicted. This addiction will solve a lot of other ones. I can tell you that right there. It will bust loose a lot of other ones. Preacher's pushing the Bible again. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. The idea, the psalmist said, delight yourself in God's Word, because we recognize the value that it's going to bring to the table. Someone who values God's Word treats it as personal and understands that it has spiritual significance. You know, the key, one of the reasons why reading the Bible is not easy, it's not a book that appeals to our mind near as much as it appeals to our spirit. Jesus said this in John 6:63, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they're life. We keep forgetting sometimes that this is a spiritual book. Jesus said God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. It's a spiritual book. It feeds us. Do you realize that you are a spirit, and you have a soul, you live in the body? You're a spiritual being. If you've ever been to a funeral of someone that you knew loved the Lord, when you see their body in the casket, you don't go, there they are. Most of us go, that's only their earth suit. I know where they are. They are with the Lord. They are fine. Their spirit is eternal. And so the Bible is a spiritual book, and it will feed you spiritually. It will feed you spiritually just like food will. Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And so it's we need to stop thinking, oh, this Bible's so hard. I don't go, no, this is good for me. This is good. And the more you begin to partake of it, the better it gets to you. Some of you have trained yourself to like different things. Some of you grew up hating vegetables. And then you realize, wow, I need to eat better. So you started eating broccoli, squash. And you used to hate it. And now you've acquired a taste for it. Now you love it. And when you love it, it makes all the difference in the world. Some of you used to drink scotch. Stuff tastes like kerosene. But you know what they'll tell you if you start drinking scotch? I've had people actually tell me this. Alan, don't worry, you'll acquire a taste for it. Just keep drinking it. You'll acquire a taste for it. Really, if I drink kerosene long enough, I'll acquire a taste for it?
Probably.
I don't suggest that. If you drink apple cider, listen, I've been drinking apple cider vinegar. I have not acquired a taste for that. That stuff is nasty. Just nasty. And I don't care if it is good for you. It's nasty. But people looked at me and said, oh, you need to drink scotch. You would be cool drinking scotch at 22 years of age. Why? Because usually people that drink scotch are much older. And they've had to kill their taste buds off. And so they... But have you ever heard anybody tell you, oh, you'll acquire a taste for it? No. I didn't like beer when I first tried it. I really didn't. I tasted it and went, gosh, that's just horrible. Why do people look so happy on television? This is horrible. And my buddy said, everybody drinks it. I guess you just have to get used to it. Okay. So I did. You know what? I hated it. You talk about the easiest thing I gave up when I came to Christ? Beer. Like, hey, give it up. Why? Because I hate it. I hate it. Reefer was tougher for me. For those of you who are guests, guess what? Surprise! This pastor was a dope smoking party guy. And I got saved. And I gave it up. And as And I hadn't been high in 35 years. And I don't miss it. Well, actually, when I went to the dentist one time. But then I had my wisdom teeth taken out, so that was not a pleasant experience at all. But what happens? We acquire. You know what really has happened is over the years, I just acquired a taste for God's Word. And here's the thing. And the more you read, the more you want. And so that's why I pushed Project 345, but also what we're doing, we're learning to get on God's way. We're adjusting to God's path. And that's a process. Listen, if you've been new at this, you're like, Alan, I want to do it. I don't know enough. And I read the Bible. And speak. Listen, you just stay with it. You stay with it, you'll get there. So in this God's Word, we talked about valuing God's Word, that you treat it as valuable. Anything that's valuable, we treat differently. Some of you collect stuff. Any of you have collections that you won't let the kids touch? Or you keep locked up in a safe because they're valuable. And I recently read of a thief who broke into a home, ripped off a bunch of stuff, but he also stole the owner's coin collection. And when they found him, he was dropping coins like in a vending machine to buy potato chips and a Coke. And he was using, I think some of the quarters were like hundreds of dollars. Some cost thousands of dollars. But to him, they had no value. So he's just dropping them in a vending machine. But he didn't understand the value. When we understand the value, you treat it differently. We understand that God's word is valuable, and whether you feel it or not, or whether you really just have this desire to read, just tell yourself, this is really good, and it's valuable, and it's helping me, and this is what I'm going to do. So the psalmist said, if you'll delight in God's word and meditate in it day and night. Now, here's what he's talking about when he talks about meditate. The psalmist said to meditate God's word. It's a form of spiritual mindfulness that actually precedes the influence of today. Today they're giving classes. Some of you, maybe in your corporations, they've given classes on mindfulness, teaching people how to focus and kind of just empty their minds out, because we live in such a distracted age that they're trying to help people relax. And so they are very boldly proclaiming, hey, that you want to be in the moment. You want to have these mindfulness classes. There's some of these corporations spend thousands of dollars. Anybody go to those? They spend thousands of dollars to send people to these. And so, you know, if your corporation is not sending you, I'm going to help you with something. Instead of just emptying out your mind, what if you focused your mind and took a scripture? And focused your mind on a scripture. So what's the value of that, Alan? Well, it depends on what the need is. When Joy was sick, you've heard me talk about Joy had acute chronic pancreatitis a number of years ago, 20-some years ago. And the doctor said if she had a severe attack, it could prove to be fatal. And they were talking about taking out her pancreas. They were talking about putting in a morphine shunt. And Joy just, we had surgery. It didn't work. And Joy said, she said, you know, I really believe that God's a healer. She said, and what she did was she actually got note cards, and she put them on like a ring. And she had healing scriptures. And every day my wife would, it was painful to watch her get up, because she had, the pains in her back were severe. And she would get up, and she would say, Alan, just please help me get up. And I'd wake her up early. She's an early riser. I'd get her up early. And she would take that card deck, and she had scriptures about healing. There's a lot of them. And she would just go through those scriptures, man. In fact, she still has that card deck. It's all dog-eared and worn out. But what she was doing was, what she was saying is, God, I believe your word. And there's a verse in Proverbs 4. It says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for their life to those that find them, and their health to all their flesh. My wife believed. See, a lot of times we think God's word is so limited. God's word is powerful. He sent his word and healed them. And my wife just went over and over. She went over scriptures and over scriptures and over scriptures. What is she doing? She's on purpose beginning to think about these scriptures. Now, you say, well, I don't need to be healed. What about fear? You know a wonderful verse just to memorize and to think about? It's 2 Timothy 1:7. For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's just a good verse. You can memorize that. You could quote that. Anybody doing the 23rd Psalm? That's a wonderful way to go over, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You can stop right there. Thank you, Lord. You're my shepherd. And I don't want. You say, well, my life is full of want. Remember, these are spiritual truths. And we're grabbing hold of them by faith. We believe them before we see them come to pass. See, you believe in Jesus. Most of us have never seen him. I believe he's real. Anybody believe he's real? We believe he's real. That's our faith. We're convinced of that. And so his words, we take that and begin to put that in our heart. What are we doing? We're meditating on God's word. What's it begin to do? It begins to change our path. So what happened to Joy? She got better and better and stronger. The attacks begin to lessen. And the last attack she had was Mother's Day right before we started the ark. Once we started the ark, she never had another one. You've seen her. She's healthy as she can be and full of life. But she didn't start that way. When I knew Joy, she came from a Catholic background. Anybody come from a Catholic background? In Catholic background, they never taught her to read her Bible. And so maybe you came from a Catholic church that did. I hope you did. But they never taught her to read her Bible, so she wouldn't read it. When I met Joy, she was biblically illiterate. Seriously bad. Y'all look at me like I'm not lying to you. Or like, now Joy knows verses. She knows verses back in those prophets where your pages are still stuck together in your Bible. She brings up verses all the time. She quotes all the time. Why? What happened? She made a determination. I'm going to delight in God's word. I'm going to begin to align my life this way. And so my little wife, who didn't know hardly anything, I'm serious, guys. I'd take her to Lakewood. Every time they gave an altar call, she'd stand up. I'm like, would you sit down? I said, you're embarrassing me. Every time. I'm like, you're right with God. She said, if you don't have peace. She looked at me. He said, if you don't have peace in your heart. And she was so nervous and so afraid and so tormented. See, guys, sometimes you see us in this place now, and you say, oh, your pastor's in this a big church, and your life is charmed. I'm sure there are angels who, like, roll a red carpet out when you get up in the morning, and that's not the truth. Because I remember how tormented my wife was and how afraid she was and how, because she basically had an emotional breakdown, she had to drop out of college. And I remember just seeing the panic attacks and things that would come over her life. And if anyone was strong, it wasn't joy. But I saw what her relationship with the Lord did and how she began to put God's word in her heart. People look at joy now, they don't think weak. They think, this girl's stout. Yeah. I know some people now say, I don't want to meet her. Women like that scare me. It's kind of like, they know what's going on. We don't know what's going on. But I want to tell you something, she is strong. It didn't happen because we decided to become pastors. It happened because we just said, Lord, I believe your word, and I'm going to put your word in my life. And she studied and she read and she studied and read, and her life changed. The panic attacks began to go away. The fear dropped off. And we're not perfect yet, believe. We're still working. Hey, listen, we're always growing. That's the thing I love about a relationship with the Lord. Wherever you are right now, a year from now, you can be further ahead. Boy, isn't that good? Isn't that great? We don't have to stop growing. People say, well, you stop growing as a couple. Bull. What ancient Chinese philosopher said that? The Bible gives us such unlimited potential in Christ. What a blessing. Well, y'all pulled me way off my notes tonight. It's your fault. I hope it helped. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray for those here tonight. Some of them are struggling. Some of them wonder if their life can ever be different or changed. Some of them, Father, have just seemed to hit the wall over and over and over again. But Father, I thank you that there is hope and there is strength and there is light. And you said the entrance of your words would bring light. And I thank you, Father, for a glimmer of hope reaching hearts tonight. That things can be different. Families can be different. Relationships can be different. Peace in their hearts and their minds can be different. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you for that hope. Thank you for that help. Thank you that your word is life to us and health. So I just thank you, Father, that as we commit to you, as we give ourselves to you and your word, you cause wonderful fruit to come about in our lives. And we are a fruit-bearing bunch. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. I know that. But I really would like one. Or if you say, Alan, I used to be in relationship with God and somehow I just slipped away. I got away. I know it. He knows it. But I want to come back. Either one of those situations applies to you. We're going to say a prayer. Sitting right in your chair. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. You don't have to shake my hand. You don't have to meet me. This is about you and God. But if that's you that I'm talking to tonight and you're saying, I would like a relationship with the Lord, or I would like to come back with him, would you slip your hand up? We're going to pray for you. Just a moment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hands up all over. Anybody else? Thank you. Appreciate your courage. Anybody else? That's you? Great. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. We're going to do exactly what we said. We're going to pray. You can put your hands down. Maybe you wanted to lift your hand and you just couldn't for some reason. Hey, you know what? You can still pray this right out of your heart. And God sees hands, but he certainly sees hearts. This is a heart prayer. So you pray. We're going to pray this with you. We're going to lead you in it. You join us. The whole church family is going to pray this. Don't be embarrassed. Just pray it out loud. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now. I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer tonight. Thank you for those that stepped out of darkness into light. We'll give you all the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.